Let us pray.
Dear Lord, this morning we come to you. It is such a privilege. We can walk with you. You are the holy God. You are a loving God. You are a powerful God and glorious glory God. We give thanks to you this morning as we come to hear your word. Lord, we would like to, Lord, help us to open our hearts, and may the Holy Spirit shine light in our hearts as we read your words. Your words can be quickened into our hearts, even though sometimes we are in slumber, so that we commit our time to you. May you speak to us, and may our hearts, all of us can give our hearts to you for your glory, because you are worthy. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, I would like to request and ask you to pray as we share God's word, no matter speaking or listening. Let us pray so that the scripture we are reading can really speak into our hearts. This morning we are going to continue with our studying on the book of Ephesians. We have been studying this book since the start of 2020. Time flies. Last time we looked at verse 8 to verse 14 of chapter 5. The main theme is walk as children of light. Last time the theme is walk as children of light. Since the Ephesians believers are light in the Lord, they should walk as children of light. How? Firstly, as a review, by discerning what is pleasing God. Secondly, by bearing fruit of the light in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Thirdly, not to partake works of darkness, but exposing them. How to expose? Not by condemning, but by shining our light. The doers of the works of the darkness can, because of that, receive the light and become light themselves. At the end of this session in verse 14, Paul declares a calling to those sleeping Christians. Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. These spiritually sleeping Christians walk as if they are not children of light, but of darkness. But God called them to arise from this spiritual slumber so that Christ can shine light on them. The dead here refers to the spiritually dead people, those who were dead in their trespasses and sins, as previously described in Ephesians chapter 2. They refer to non-believers. The bodies of dead people are corrupted and impotent, can't do anything. The non-believers are dead and corrupted in the eyes of God because of all their deeds, including the apparently morally good deeds. Even that, they are just from their self-centered, sinful self-life, inherited from their ancestor Adam, fallen in sin. They are impotent to do anything good, pleasing God. Therefore, in God's eyes, all of them are corrupted, impotent, and spiritually dead people. In the original Greek, the word sleeper is singular, whereas the word dead is plural. Though God's calling to all spiritually slumber Christians, it addresses to individual person and requires their personal response. He needs to awake from his sleep and arise from among the spiritually dead non-believers around him. Are you a Christian being slumber for a long time? Living comfortably among your non-believing friends for a long time without feeling sense of discomfort and vigilance? Seeing and feeling things in this world as other non-believing friends around you, other non-believers around you, having tastes and values similar to them? Are you not much different from them because you are slumber among the spiritually dead people? If so, please awake now, so that Christ can shine light on you with his words to the message this morning. Verse 14 is the final verse of the last session, verse 8 to 14 we looked at last time. It can also be regarded as the context of the next verse 15 and 16 we are going to look at this morning. Some people might say, I am not fully sleeping spiritually. I am not too bad. At least, I come this morning to the English meeting. Thank God that you are not fully slumber and can come this morning. But are you partially sleeping? If so, please pay full attention to verse 15 and 16 of Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, so that Christ can shine light on the area which he wants you to be purified and brightened up, so that you can even be brighter for him. Before I start these two verses, 15 and 16, I would like you to answer for yourself a couple of questions. Number one, what are the three things you want most for your whole life? Three things you want most for your whole life. This is question one. Second question, what do you want to see yourself in 10 years' time? No matter how old are you now, what do you want to see yourself in 10 years' time? Let us read Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 16 now. The version I'm reading is ESV. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. The theme I would like to give to these two verses is, look carefully how you walk, redeeming your time. Look carefully how you walk, wisely, redeeming your time. I would like to split this passage into three main points. Verse 15, look carefully at how you walk wisely. Second main point, verse 16, last part, the days are evil because the days are evil. The third part, main point, verse 16, the first part, make the best use of your time. Let us start the first main point. Look carefully at how you walk wisely. Verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Here the word then connects verse 14, which we just previously reviewed, and verse 15, the one we are looking at. Look carefully how you walk. Walk is a practical word an action word. It is a step-by-step movement. It pictures our way of life, our lifestyle, the things we do and the words we speak. Walk also relates to the way we are walking in and the destination we are heading to. Are you actually walking? Or are you just wandering aimlessly in your life? Or are you even just in your slumber, sleepwalking, which is totally not governed and directed by your responsible mind and deliberate choices and conscience, but only driven by a random dream in your spiritual slumber? The word walk appears 7 times in the book of Ephesians. So this book, precious book, speaks of not only very important doctrinal truths, but also very wonderful practical truths. In chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, we don't have time to look at it thoroughly. It's Paul spoke of the people before believing in Jesus to become Christians. They were dead in sins and walked in sins. Chapter 2, verse 10. Paul said to Ephesians Christians, after being saved by grace through faith, that they should now walk in good works. Chapter 4, verse 1. Paul exhorted them to walk worthy of God's calling, to earnestly keep the unity of the Holy Spirit and build up the body of Christ in oneness, in love. This is the first and most important walk Paul pointed out to Ephesians Christians. Chapter 4, verse 17. Paul reminded the Ephesians Christians that they now should not walk as non-believers walk. Rather, they should keep putting off the old man and putting on the new man in order to put off falsehood and speak the truth, to put off sinful anger and theft and work and give, so that they can work and give. Pull off corrupting words and speak edifying words. Put off bitterness and put on kindness to forgive one another. In chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, Paul exhort them to walk in love as God's beloved children. And in chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, to walk in light as children of light. Now Paul comes to chapter 5, verse 15. He exhorts them to walk carefully and wisely, saying, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Or some translated unwise as fools, like in the New King James Version. If you're a Christian, how do you walk wisely? The answer is, don't walk as the non-believers walk, but walk as Paul exhorted us to wise walks mentioned in the above. Non-believers walk is an unwise walk. It's a foolish walk. Christians need to avoid their walk so that we can escape the snares in their ways, lest we enter into temptation. But if sometimes the temptation unexpectedly comes to us without our invitation, without our deliberately exposing ourselves to it, in this case, then we should resist them straight away. However, in the first place, we must avoid them by actively walking wisely walk on things pleasing God. Walking wisely is not just an outward behavior. More important is our heart condition. If a person fears God in her heart, she will start having wisdom in her heart. As Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." If a person fears God, she will avoid unwise walk and avoid the things only wise in her own eyes, only wise in the unbeliever's eyes. Because of fearing God, she will want to know how to please God. The more she knows God, the more she has insight to walk in God's way and walk in it wisely. In this way, we can learn to walk not as fools, but as wise. All the above are not only wise walks. They are glorious walks as well. They are good walks, like the hymn is saying, walking with Jesus. These walks are for God to transform us to be His workmanship, to allow us to be built in the body of Christ, His own church, to enable us to know His love and to share His love, to brighten us up, to shine for Him in this darkened and dying world. Because of these glorious and wonderful purposes, God commands us to walk wisely. So this commandment is a blessing commandment, not a burden. Because of this blessing commandment, we need to look carefully how we walk wisely. Carefully means walking vigilantly, following the wise walks mentioned in previous parts of the book of Ephesians thoroughly, wholeheartedly, and faithfully. We have just looked at the first main point, that look carefully at how you walk wisely. We just said that. The reason God gives us this commandment to walk wisely, because He wants to bless us abundantly. We're going to see another reason why God commands us to walk wisely. This is the second main point of today's message. Because the days are evil. That means that walking wisely is not only a blessing commandment, it is also a protecting commandment. Protecting from what? Protecting from the evil days, as said in verse 16. Because the days are evil. Why the days are evil? Because there's a lot of fools in this world. Because of their foolishness, sometimes including ourselves, both individuals and societies, even nations, become sicker and sicker. Do you notice that the world we are living is sick? Not only the physical earth is sick, as voiced out loudly by the environmentalists. The soul of the world is sick. Recently, there's a saying which is more apparent in my conversation with Yvonne, my wife. Do you know what it is? Sick. The world is sicker and sicker. As we meet people, hear people talking about their friends, their relatives, their families, as we watch the news, listen to the news, we found that There are a lot of sick people in the world. There are a lot of sick people because there are a lot of fools. The foolishness I'm talking about is not referring to intellectual ability, but referring to spiritual understanding. These fools, so many fools, bring harm and hurts to people, including themselves. They cause people sicker, including the ones they are close to, or even the one they try to love and care for. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 7, the psalmist said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fools are fools because they despise God and His wisdom. They are lack of wisdom because they don't fear God. They ignore God. They rebel against God. They are fools because they are sinful. They deny God to an extent that saying, "There is no God." Sometimes in our heart, even Christians, sometimes we say things, we do things as if there's no God. In Psalm chapter 14, verse 1 said, "The fool says in his heart, 'There is no God.' They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good." You can imagine. If all the people in the whole world say in their hearts, "There is no God," we human beings are just come from random collisions of physical matter followed by long time evolution. The whole process is just random. No purpose, no moral truth. Man's life all vanish. After death, nothing. All disappear. So it's not eternal. After death, nothing, because we are material only. No accountability to a righteous, eternal God. If so, what the world will become? The fools can think they are wise in their own eyes. What the world will become? It becomes an animal world without moral value and accountability. The only golden rule is survival for the fittest. So bullying, bloodshed, slavery, rape, deceit, greed, lust, all things are moral. No moral value. Not moral or immoral, amoral. Because there is no absolute standard or truth. You can't say Hitler is a bad guy. You can't say that. He was only like a relatively powerful and smart lion in the forest. No judgment should be on him, nor will be on him. Is it the world you like to see? No God. In this case, the more fools in this world think like that, the world will become very sick, scary world. Why people are becoming sicker? It is because the world is becoming more evil. Because the world becomes more evil, Christians are facing a bigger danger. Not the danger of persecution, but the danger of sharing this kind of foolishness in the temptation, walking in foolishness. When Paul reminded Ephesian Christians that the days are evil, it was 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years later, now, the days are still evil, even more. The Lord said the days would be more evil and dangerous towards the end time and His second coming. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 10 to 13, He said, "And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." So we need to be careful. Walk wisely. For the danger of our evil days, God commands Christians to walk wisely so that we can be protected, lest us become sleepers. What is the characteristic of a sleeper? Think about that. Number one, inactivity. No activity or action for the spiritual work of light or the spiritual fruit of light. No activity for edifying yourself spiritually or for others. Number two, characteristic. Feeling secure, feeling safe. So comfortably sleeping. No sense of danger. No watchfulness for hidden risk. Neglecting the danger, threatening to one's soul. Ignoring the coming judgment of God, the destruction of his or her own soul, neglecting his own spiritual dying and that of the people he loves. Slumber. Inactivity and feeling secure is a slumber Christian. Of a slumber Christian, put him or her into a very dangerous situation. That's why sleeping Christians need to wake up and arise to have the light shone on him from Christ. Let us guard our walk by guarding our hearts from the evils and dangers of the world. Guard us from the indifferent attitude to the well-being of our personal walk with God and the well-being of His house, God's house. Guard us from the lack of love to one another, from the coldness of heart towards our loving God, the indulgence of sins or lust, and from some other list in your heart you know better. Because the days are evil. After looking at the command for Christians to walk wisely and carefully, because the days are evil, we are now come to look at the third main point, which is redeeming the time. ESV Bible translation is making the best use of the time, whereas the New King James Version is redeeming the time. I think, personally, New King James Version is a better translation because here it is more literally closing to the original New Testament Greek meaning. What's meant by redeeming the time? Redeeming. The translator English word redeeming in the New Testament Greek literally means buying completely out from, buying up, making ransom, rescuing from the loss. Like a merchant who is diligently seek and wait to buy up best bargains in the market, taking care not to miss the fleeting opportunities. Redeeming the time. The time here, the Greek is kairos. This word more referring to the opportunity instead of physical time. In ancient Greek, there were two words for time. One is chronos, and the other is kairos. Chronos refers to chronological or sequential time, whereas kairos signifies more proper or opportune time for action. Having said this, kairos is the usual, also is the usual word for time in the scripture. Just like chronos. Because for Christian, all time is season. All time is opportunity for us to please God and glorify Him. Even including difficult and dark time. When God can still turn it to opportunity for us to bear fruits of light for Him and for the people around us. Those are in darkness. These opportunities are all under sovereignty of God. Difficult time, easy time, under sovereignty of God. Though some of the opportunity might be unexpected, suddenly come, but none of them is accidental. All under God's hand. As God allows, there must be a good purpose in God's mind He can achieve through our redeeming the time. In ancient days, the Greeks had a statue named Kairos, close to the entrance to the stadium of the ancient Olympic Games, representing the Kairos time, which means the fleeting moment. The statue of Kairos was depicted a man with wings on his feet, a large lock of hair on the front of his head, and no hair at all at the back. Beneath this statue was the following inscription. What is thy name? The answer is, my name is Opportunity. Why hast thou wings on thy feet? That I may fly away swiftly. Why hast thou a great forelock? That man may seize me when I come. Why art thou bowed in back? That when I am gone by, none can lay hold of me. This is the statue Kairos. Underneath the statue, the inscription there. The word Kairos time in Greek here, just mentioned, or the Greek here mentioned in chapter 5 in verse 16, refers to opportunity or fleeting moment of opportunity. Opportunity for what? As we have just said, even the Greeks in the ancient time regarded time was important and precious. They didn't know our true God. They didn't have true purpose in their lives. But they still, they picked a time and opportunities to be seized quickly with watchfulness and readiness. How about you and me? Even non-believers today regard times similarly. They think time is money. Time is important. Opportunity is gold. But sometimes they treasure it in a wrong and regrettable way sometimes. More than 30 years ago, there was a very popular TV advertisement in Hong Kong marketing a hand watch with brand name Sevilla Titus. Titasia. Tie Da Shi is a hand watch. In the advertisement, very popular advertisement, it shows one man and one woman embracing and kissing one another in a romantic scenery background, with a wording saying, "不在乎天长地久，只在乎曾经拥有." In Cantonese, well, maybe you don't understand. 不在乎天长地久，只在乎曾经拥有。I don't care for how to translate. Long heaven and everlasting earth. I only care for I have had once only. Something like that. The TV advertisement was somehow conveying this message. I don't bother whether our relationship can last for life or not. I only care I have once had our relationship. Don't bother whether you can own the tightest watch for life. Just focus and enjoy the moment you have had that beautifully and elegantly made Sevilla Titus watch. This is so-called the beauty of the fleeting and happy moment. They don't bother whether this fleeting happiness, enjoyable moment, is a genuine, loving moment or just sinful, lusting moment. Quite a few years ago, there was a popular phrase in Chinese, 活在当下, 活在当下. In English, it means here and now I live. Meaning, I engage myself with passion to enjoy here and now. What they actually mean is to encourage themselves and other people to enjoy the fun and excitement here and now. Don't bother about tomorrow. Don't bother about the morality. Don't bother about the responsibility. Don't bother about the consequence. As long as we can enjoy at this fleeting moment, here and now, just do it. This is the passion we should have. Grasping this fleeting moment is courageous, admirable, and authentic living. This is life. 活在当下. In God's eyes, this can be cowardly selfish, regrettable, and authentic lusting. You might say, I am not using my time to sin or lust, or doing immoral things. I only use a fair bit of my time to idle, or to addict to something for fun. If it is you, this is you, Paul wants you to wake up. say in verse 14, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Yes, time and opportunity is precious. But the precious time is not for us to lust or to sin or for our self-centered flesh to enjoy or to idle. When I say that, I'm not saying that Christians can't have recreation or holiday and enjoy that themselves. We do need holiday. We do need to have rest. We do need to do something which interests us so that we can have a healthy life, including our physical body. The opportunity time kairos, in the context of Ephesians chapter 5, here is precious for us to seize the opportunity to bear the fruit of light in verse 9 and to please God in verse 10. As Christian, we are qualified and we are able to give new biblical meaning to the current Chinese saying of 活在当下, here and now I live. Here and now I live. I engage myself with passion to live here and now for God's pleasure and for His glory. Moses, in his old age, said in Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days," he's praying to God, "that we may get a heart of wisdom." Moses asked the Lord to teach him and the Israelites to count their days, that they might get a heart of his wisdom. May we also learn to count our days so that we can walk wisely on earth to make our days count before God. How to make our days count? Each day of our hours can only count if it counts for eternity. Why Paul exhorted us to redeem the time? Because time is precious. Why time is precious? Because it links to eternity. Someone said, time is the seed for eternity. The seed of eternity. To make our life count for eternity, we must be wise in how we spend our time today. Do you redeem your time today to walk wisely and carefully? Do you look forward to your eternal harvest of your time seeded today? John Flavel was an English Puritan minister, preacher, in the 17th century. He said, "God's hands the great things of eternity upon the small wires of time and season in this world." God hands the great things of eternity upon the small wires of times and season in this world. That may be done or neglected in a day, which may be the groundwork of joy or sorrow to all eternity. Whether the eternity is joy or sorrow, see them from how to treat the time and opportunity. Neglect it or do it? Are you now redeeming or neglecting the time? Are you building the groundwork of joy or sorrow for your eternity? Recently, Watuhi had a minor car accident. and needed to have her car repaired. It's not her fault. So she got a free Uber Lyft, paid by the insurance of the party at fault. When she was on the car, she grasped her opportunity, fleeting moment, to preach the gospel to the Uber driver. This is a small incident, redeeming the time, which I believe might be counted for eternity. Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." Xerxes was an innovative Greek painter. He was famous for his ability to imitate nature, especially those still alive. The animal, the life, you know, stopped there and then he painted. He is in about 5 BC time. 5 BC time. Yeah. He used to take up a long time in finishing his picture or portraits. Far more longer than his other contemporary portrait painters. Once he was asked why it took him so long to paint his drawing, and why he was so curious and exact for his drawing. Can you guess what he answered? He said, "I paint for eternity." Xerxes has a perspective for his painting. He painted for eternity. In a limited of time, now and here, he painted. But the perspective is to paint for unlimited eternity. In other words, he did his artwork in such a way that he wanted people from all future ages to appreciate him and his painting. He wanted his artwork with value that can last all the years in the future. That's why he painted so focusedly and diligently. As we draw our life with our words and deeds, our decision, do we draw it for eternity? Do we speak and do with a heart condition of love which has eternal value in God's eyes? Even just for man's applause, Xerxes drew his pictures with carefulness, exactness, diligence, and thoroughness. How do we walk through our words? How do we walk through our words and deeds for the pleasure of our great King and loving God? So that on that day, God can say to you and I, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." May we all can set our mind in drawing our own life story with the same perspective, saying, "I draw for eternity. I live my each day in time and space, here and now, for eternity." Let me continue, because of even limited time. Each day is a gift given by God along with His responsibility to us. God gives us time to use in view of eternity. Hence, every new day we receive from God brings us a huge responsibility and opportunity. One day God will call us to account for the way in which we have spent it on earth. Therefore, we need to look carefully how we walk by redeeming the time. Someone said, wasting the gift of time actually is insulting the giver of time. Let us not do it, but bring glory to God with our time instead. Paul exhorted us to redeem the time. Why we need to redeem the time? Because the time is precious. Why the time is precious? Not only because time is the seed of eternity, but also because it is short and uncertain. It is not unlimited. We don't have unlimited time. In James chapter 4, verse 13 to 16, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that, as it is. You boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Our life is short. Our life is just like a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Not only our life and our time is short, it is uncertain as well. Who can boast? No one can boast. Time is so uncertain. You and I don't know how much longer we can live, both young and old. Although my time I don't have enough time, but I would like to borrow some more time. These few days, as I prepare for this morning's message, a brother came to my mind. Both of us were teaching in the same Christian high school in Hong Kong after we were freshly graduated from university. That is a very good Christian school, not in terms of academic performance, but in terms of preaching the gospel through teaching. The principal was a committed Christian trying to employ committed Christians desiring to witness Christ through teaching. By God's grace, I was blessed to be employed then. We call this brother, colleague, by nickname. He's teaching chemistry. I was teaching math. His nickname, called by colleagues, is Dai Leung in Cantonese. How about I show you some picture? Okay, this is my old, you know, the teacher we taught. The one in red circle is Dai Leung. And at the back, this is the building of our school. There's a school motto there. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. For some reason, I was not there. Maybe I'm sick or whatever. I can't remember. And then another picture. This is the colleague, our colleague, in more casual. The one in circle, red circle, is Dai Leung. Can you guess where is me? Where is I? I don't think you can. Okay, anyway, because of time, I let you go. Next slide. The one there. Curly hairs, naturally, whatever. And then long and silver looking and whatever. Okay. The one I want you to look at is not me. It's Dai Leung. After serving the school full time over 30 years, one day Dai Leung started to find that some of his right-hand fingers become weak, can't hold things. Later, he was diagnosed with motor neuron disease, MND, or some people call it ASL, or ALS, which is a terminal illness. 4 months later, Da Liang died, the year was 2013. Though he died very soon, so soon, but I saw the grace and peace in Da Liang and his wife during this sudden and unexpected terminal illness, MND. Indeed, he lived a relatively short life, passed away at his mid-50s. From what I saw, he has lived a faithful life, serving generations of students in all his working life as a teacher and as a school principal for 33 years. Most importantly, he served them because Christ and his gospel. I'm now in my early 60s. When I reflected on his life last week, I asked myself how I spent my time in the past 40 years, 45 or 6 years, after I believed in Jesus. Whom and what I served in all these years. Was the Lord or something else? Or both? Or with a little bit of the Lord for the Lord, but mostly for something else? If this was the case, a little bit for the Lord and mostly something else, I don't want to be like that anymore. I want to redeem my time. I want to serve the Lord and what he treasures, but not something else. How about you? If you are a Christian, how long have you been a Christian? During all this time as a Christian, how much you were serving the Lord and his gospel? Or most of the time, you served something else. How to redeem the time? Have you redeemed your time in the past? If you found yourself having served most the Lord, mostly the Lord and his gospel, I'll be very glad for you and praise God for you. This is the way you should keep going straight. As an elderly man, wasting a lot of time in the past, walking and wandering numerous winding paths, I do hope more young men and women can rise up and make up their mind and set a very clear priority in their lives to walk wisely and carefully to redeem the time for Christ and his church. This is the way every Christian, young and old, should walk and should walk straight and focused. If you have not yet believed in Jesus, I pray that you can redeem your time to seek the Lord and seek him quickly and earnestly, so that you can really know him to be your Savior and your Lord. Once you know him personally, you will find that you should have known him much earlier, so that you shouldn't have wasted your time for so long and should have followed him earlier. Lastly, I would like to share you a song, but I can't because of time. Maybe I can put it in the WhatsApp. Open friends. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you. Lord, we bring the scripture you speak to us this morning to you. Lord, we pray that you help us to redeem the time. Or at least, Lord, give us a strong desire to redeem the time so that we can live a life worthy of your calling. Every day we receive each new day as new gift from you, we can honor you, but not neglecting the opportunity, the day, because you are worthy. Lord, we pray that your love fill our hearts, so that our hearts can be free and without fear. We can courageously redeem the time for you, the loving God, the glorious King. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.